1 John chapter 1, let's begin reading, please, in verse number 6. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In these two verses, it reminds us throughout here, talking about fellowship. Fellowship. Now, if we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and have him as our goal, and we're worshiping him, and we're all worshiping together, then all of a sudden our hearts are knit and tied and unified together in that. When we each have our own agenda, we all have our own list, our own little things, our own little desires and drives, and well, then a lot of times in churches that may get scattered and have a very divisive type of spirit and attitude. This happened in the early church. It happened in the first century church. We find that very clearly in the church at Corinth, and divisions were going on. And so here in this passage, I believe that right off the bat, he's dealing with fellowship in the church and fellowship with the Lord. Now, did you understand and realize that a person can be saved, born again, heaven-bound, blood-bought, I mean truly, truly saved, okay? And they can be out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. We call it sometimes backslidden. Away from God, prodigal, but he's still a son. You see, we say prodigal son, prodigal, but he's still a son. And sometimes in the far country and in sin and all that kind of thing. And so this was, whenever we come to God's house, this is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. And so why don't we just set our halo off to the side and just realize that we're all broken in need of fixing. We're in a fight. We're in a race. Some of us get tired. Some of us get wounded. Some of us get trodden down. And we see other people come up and they sing, they give testimony, and it seems like they have their life all together and everything's going great for them. And Satan perches up on their shoulder and says, see, God doesn't love you, or you're not worth something. You're not as valuable as they are, or else God would be taking care of you. Chances are very high that person who's giving a testimony for Jesus Christ is looking past, courageously in faith, looking past some of the battles that they have been facing, and they're focusing on the Lord because they've seen him see them through those things in the past. They're not letting those things drag them down. Find someone like that that you look up to. Find someone like that in the church who's a pillar of your faith, and sit down with them and talk with them and ask them, is there anything that I'm doing wrong? Tell them about your Christian life. And I grant you that usually you're going to hear them say something like this. If they're honest with you, they're going to say, you know, I struggle with the same things in my life. I struggle with the same temptation, same old nature. I struggle with the same discouragement and depression. I'm a little further down the path, and I found Jesus to be faithful and true. And in the midst of my trials, I've learned that I can still trust in him on credit, even when he does not give me what I need at that moment. He's going to be with me, and he's going to carry me through. That's called fellowship with Jesus Christ, in fellowship with God. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of the temptations that come, we still are fellowshipping with him, keeping our eyes fixed on him. There are times when we don't do as admirably. There are times when our life is not as honorable in our walk with the Lord, when we have failed in that. And here is the passage that introduces that. So let's just get honest, you know, as a pastor, you know, am I supposed to, you know, present some flawless, sinless presentation, Try to be like me. No, please don't try to be like me. Be like Jesus Christ. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. It's my job to point you to him. Let's look, please, in verse number 5. The Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Here's the point. The glory of God, the light of his presence, will not allow one measure of darkness, one measure of sin. Sin cannot enter into his presence. May I tell you today that that is the whole reason why Jesus was the only one who could die for our sins and present his blood on the atonement seat, the mercy seat, for your sins and for mine. Because, you see, no one else could take the sinless blood of Christ but the sinless person of Jesus Christ. No deacon, no pastor, no Sunday school teacher. We're all sinners. So he had to bring his sinless blood. He's the only one that could come into his presence. So that's the goal. That's the goal. Be ye holy as I am holy. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Boy, preacher, I'm glad I don't drink. I'm glad I'm not an alcoholic. I'm glad I don't do drugs. I'm glad I'm not a criminal. I'm glad I'm not an adulterer. I'm glad, and you can go on and on down a list. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to look within our hearts and turn the searchlight of God's Holy Spirit to convict us, it won't take long to realize where we fall short of the glory of God as Christians. So what he's saying is this. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You could say it this way. I think it's kind of interesting, this kind of twist on the principle. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your talk talks louder than your talk talks. Did you get it? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. If we say we have fellowship with him and we live in darkness, the Bible says we're lying. We lie and do not the truth. Wow. Well, that hits everybody. You see, James 4:17 says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So what is it that God's laid upon your heart to do and you said, no, not right now? The offering plate went by and God laid something on your heart and you either obeyed or you didn't. Opportunity to share the gospel with someone came and went. Did you obey or did you rebel against the Holy Spirit? To him that knoweth to do good, knoweth it not. To him it is sin. When God moved upon your heart to open the Word of God and you were so tired you couldn't keep your eyes open and you were afraid you'd be dishonoring to God because you might fall asleep, may I tell you today that it would not be a bad thing for you to fall asleep with your face in the Bible. It'd be a lot worse things to do than that. But here's what I have found. I have found when I say, okay, I'm so tired, but Lord, you want to commune with me. You want to speak to my heart. And so I open the Bible and I start to read. Those are the sweetest moments. And all of a sudden, I'm wide awake because I hear God speak to my heart. Heaven opened up. God wanted to just talk with me a while. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him to sin. So what do I do about that? Look at verse 7. Here's the goal. The goal is if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, what is fellowship? I heard a man describe it this way. Fellowship. Two fellas in a ship rowing the same direction. That's fellowship. Now, that's not a very theological type of definition, but it sure is a practical one. You see, you might be in one ship and somebody else in another. That's not fellowship. You might be in a ship together and you're arguing with each other which way you're supposed to go. Or you might be in the same ship and you're bent on going one way and they're bent on going the other way. But if you're both in the same ship, of the same mind, rowing the same direction, you're going somewhere. You're having an impact, an influence. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then you look around and you say, wow, everybody's rowing the same direction. Everybody's in the same pace. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth, that's a present tense verb. Meaning continually. Cleansing us continually. The guilt of our sin. The payment of our sin officially was done by Jesus Christ at the cross. But we need our feet washed. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Remember what Peter said? He said, oh, well, if I really need to be washed, then not just my feet, wash me only. He said, no, you're clean. We're clean through the word which he's spoken unto us, but just your feet. You see, as we walk in this sinful world, some of that sin, some of that world sticks to us. And we need to do an inspection of ourselves. Now, when the kids are out playing and it's lunchtime, moms, did you ever say this? Show me your hands. Show me your hands. Go wash your hands. They're filthy. They're dirty. All you need to do is wash your hands. Jesus has washed our hearts. But if we have fellowship one with another, it's because we first have fellowship with the Lord. And in Him is no darkness at all. And He sees everything. Why not ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything between you and me? Husbands, have you ever said that to your wife? My wife and I, we have a little way of saying it. We'll say it this way. Is everything okay? And because of how we say it, is, are you okay? Is everything okay? Don't we say it that way? I don't know how we started that. You just, you know what you're meaning. In other words, are you upset at me? And a lot of times I'll say, no, honey, I'm fine. I'm not upset with you. I've just got a lot on my mind right now. And she breathes, you know. And vice versa. When things in life are all of a sudden prickling us and sticking us and things. And things aren't working out right. And perhaps it's God's way of trying to get our attention. We say, Lord, are you trying to speak to me? Is everything all right between you and me? I mean, really. Really, I want to know. And usually in my experience, God will reveal one thing. One thing. Not many. Just one. If I respond to that one thing correctly, with a humble heart, and say, God, you are right. I can't believe I did that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I may have to make it right with someone else. Then do this. Is there anything else wrong between you and me? He'll reveal one thing. Folks, if you spend time with the Lord and you have a quiet heart before Him and you go through that peeling of the onion one layer at a time, it is worth it. When you get down to the end, what I have found, I'm going layer by layer and all of a sudden I'm just overwhelmed with my failures before God and overwhelmed and I'm tears are running down my cheeks. And I ask Him for the sixth or seventh time, Lord, what else? Is there anything else? What else? I want to be right with you. And when God can say in my heart, that's all, Mark. That's it. And I sense the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit in my heart and my life and His peace in my heart and my life. That's what it's talking about, having fellowship with the Lord in His light. And we're going to get to the next verse, verse number 9, next time. In verse number 8, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know what our tendency is? Our temptation is to say, no, it's okay, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. If God says we're all right, then we're all right. When God says, there's nothing I've wanted for you that you have not been doing. This is all being corrected. It's all right. This is not what I'm describing to you. Started when I was in high school. In my closet, with a little box in my closet, with the little carpet squares that they give you when you're looking at carpet pieces. I got a hold of this somewhere. I took one piece of carpet, put it on the box, and one piece of carpet to kneel on. Closed my doors in my closet. That's where I learned this. This is not for pastors or preachers. I was a teenager when I discovered this. And when I found the sweet communion of the Lord Jesus Christ, He was right there with me. That's fellowship with God. And I'll tell you something. I didn't really want to leave after that. I wanted to just stay in His presence. I understand why Joshua, whenever Moses left out of the tabernacle, and the Bible says that Joshua remained in the tabernacle, in the presence of God. Now, you don't have that sweet communion with sin, because that sin has to be dealt with. And then the glory of God fills your soul. I'm wondering what it would be like if all of us were to come to church with that kind of experience with the Lord. Could you imagine? We're not talking an outward glow. We're not talking a show. We're not talking, you know, whatever. But the power of God flowing through a church family, where He is invited and He is in charge, and you have an order of service perhaps. But my friend, I have to listen to the Lord Jesus. And God forbid, there are times that I'm tempted whenever I look at the clock and I look at this and so-and-so has said that and the Lord says, no, I want you to do this. I want you to change and do that. I want you to sing that chorus. I want you to stop and do this. That's not me trying to shape the service anyway. I'm just trying to be mindful of the Lord. Why don't we all do the same thing? Every day and in every way, have Him first. Fellowshipping with the Lord. Now, I'll give you this preview as we close. Say, preacher, what you're describing sounds really good, and I'm not sure if that's for me. 1 John 1:9 is for everybody who is saved. See, the epistle is written to saved people. It's not about whether or not you're going to go to heaven. It's whether or not heaven is in your heart. Says, if we confess our sins, say the same thing as God says about our sins, He is faithful. Why is He faithful? Because He loves you. He's a merciful high priest. But He's also just. And you see, love and mercy and justice coexist in the person of Almighty God. And God cannot overlook sin. Sin must be dealt with. So it was dealt with and paid for at Calvary. And then fellowship can be restored by the precious payment of Jesus Christ when we recognize our failure and our sin. You'll hear me publicly. Publicly, I will ask God for forgiveness. Sometimes those will be things that God's laid upon my heart because I got caught up in the flow of the service and the Lord said to have someone lead in prayer. And I had already started to pray. I didn't know what to do. Say, well, that happens to you? Yep, sure does. I have to ask forgiveness for that. Because this is His church. He must be in charge. So we need to back off. Mark needs to back off and not be in such a big hurry. And when we gather together, we're on his time schedule and fellowship with him. And then we're fellowshipping with him. Our fellowship with one another is going to be really good. And if somebody's out of whack, it'll stand out. It'll stand out. And you know what we do about that? We love on them. We love on them. Because that's what God does to us. Bring them back to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you would take your precious word. Teach us how to love you and how to love people. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That's what you said. And I ask you, Lord, that you would move upon our hearts. There may be some folks who just want to get alone with you just for a few moments. That you're calling, you're directing, you're guiding. I pray, Lord, we'd obey you. If we won't obey you here, we won't obey you anywhere. Lord, if there's people here that you're wanting to plug into this ministry, Lord, move them, move in their hearts. And Lord, you tell them, say, this is your church, join it up. Lord, I pray for husbands and wives going through trials and times of testing. Lord, would you wrap your loving arms around them? May they sense your forgiveness, your power, and your love. Lord, provide for their needs, I pray. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Help us, Lord, to fellowship in you. And in your love, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Let's stand together.